Hi, Ragini again, and welcome to Module 6, Part 2. What if you aren't who you fear you might be? This is a fascinating section. Tip number 3 from your mystic's eye grants you release from having to carry around the burden of your negative sense of identity. And many people may not be aware that they're carrying this around, but you can check out for yourself. Just listen to your internal dialogue. Listen to your internal critic, and you will become aware of how much of your inner dialogue is related to not only building but holding in place this sense of your not being enough, which is what I'm calling your negative identity. Mystical perspective number 3 opens the door to perceiving and claiming your positive identity. Look at her relationship to the world is very different than in the last slide. And this sense of positive identity becomes your stepping stone to finding your divine self or your essential self or your soul, whatever language you use to describe the divine component of your identity. Mystical perspective number 3 says weaknesses are in fact not your identity. What? Most people go, what? I have to take these things and make them into positives so that I can feel good about who I am, which is an identity statement. When you say I am, you're talking about your identity. So for some levels of most of us, this is going to be kind of a shock. What? Now, how you think your identity is created is determined by what you've been taught, which is your strengths determine who you are, your weaknesses, your achievements, and your failures. And that is who you are determined by in the very basis of your unconscious mind. This is a potent misunderstanding. So we say, aha, I succeeded. I am a success. I failed. I am a failure. He loves me. I'm lovable. He hates me. I'm unlovable. I didn't win. Therefore, I am a loser. I won the game. Therefore, I am a winner. Now, it's not that these things are not true, but they are not the final statement about who we are. And oftentimes, they create a great deal of pain and suffering if they're not a positive conclusion. So remaining not knowing your deepest identity is, from the mystical perspective, what creates the majority of emotional pain and suffering that you endure every day. Now, it doesn't take away the other ideas or feelings, but it allows you to know they are not the final statement about who you are. So how do you achieve this new perspective? Well, the mystics tell us, ask yourself 3 questions. What if the weaknesses on the bottom part of the loop were not statements about who I am? Wouldn't that be a great thing if the answer to that were, yeah, they're not? How to achieve this new perspective? Question number 2. What if all those weaknesses were just experiences to discover and explore, to ascertain new aspects of who I really am, rather than be a statement simply by their presence of who I am? And question number 3, what if none of the weaknesses in any way were a comment on my identity, my value, my worth, or my goodness? Well, wouldn't that be a tremendous relief? I've never met anyone who didn't find relief in contemplating the possible truthfulness of that particular question. You see, your unconscious mind assesses who you are by equating you with behavior, which is what we're taught. Perfection equals a good person. Flaws equal a bad person. Loving equals a good person. Hateful equals a bad person. Achievement equals success person, good person. Failing equals bad person. Now, you must learn to assess whether or not these are actually true, because your unconscious mind is going to say it is true. So it's up to you, when you use the mystical perspective, to question this assessment. Is it accurate? So one of the ideas here is, Are you a melting pot or a mosaic? Now, America began with the idea of being a melting pot, which means all the different nationalities from all over the world would come together, and we'd come together in this United States, and there would be no differences. We would all be made of the same substance, one country. We would become one and indivisible. The desired goal here was there would be no divisions between us and no divisions within us. And of course, this cultural analogy became part of what we also applied to ourselves, not just to a nation, but to the individual. And of course, we find as we grow older and live life that it's not really a goal that can be reached with the human psychology and emotional state being what it is. So what if you instead use the idea of being a mosaic instead of a melting pot? Because a mosaic embraces all variations, chips, bumps, smoothness, broken, scratchy, it doesn't matter. Flaws and limitations are welcome in a mosaic because it's the variation that makes the piece unique. Pretty clear, huh? And pretty cool. It's a very nice idea. And this is something some of you are running into just for the first time. It's called the art of wabi-sabi, which is loving the imperfections, because that is what makes that particular piece the perfection that it is. A much nicer metaphor to use in terms of relating to who you are. Because it is not possible to be without flaws. That is your uniqueness. It is your perfect imperfectness. It is your road to understanding, growth, and expansion. So penetrating each flaw that you find with your courage and your awareness and your curiosity will add to your perception of the wholeness and free you to continue to expand your understanding and your consciousness that you bring to your everyday life. No piece of you by itself is the wholeness of who you are. No one experience creates the whole you. The whole you can only be grasped by becoming bigger than the you that is your personality and your emotions and your mind. No strength, not just a weakness, but no strength either can reflect you in your totality. No strength and no weakness. We are a wonderful conglomeration of so many different things that to pick out one thing and focus on it is to fixate your view on one part of the whole picture. And that is the whole purpose of this training, is to help you be able to free your viewpoint from being fixed on any one weakness, any one identity, any one strength, as being the totality of who you are, because that, and you have to find this out for yourself, may not be the truth. You may be more than you've ever thought possible. And this becomes something that you can explore as you realize that the emotions, the experiences on the bottom of the loop are not statements about your identity, value, worth, or goodness. This opens the space for reflection. And I want to add here that, of course, it also means that you're also not your strengths. Okay, and nobody that I've ever met really likes to hear that part. We're delighted and jump up and down with joy at the possibility that what's on the bottom of the loop is not a statement about us. But it's a little bit harder and takes a little bit of time to open to the realization that that means the strengths also are not a final statement about who you are. When you become more open to reflection, you can watch your emotional reaction arise and pass away in your body-mind, and that means whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, minus the heightened emotional charge. You know, you can become totally attached to a positive experience as well as totally attached to avoiding a negative one. So when you can open to reflection, when you can move from emotional reaction to reflection, you have a great deal more room to find the freedom to simply be who you are and enjoy your life. So if you need proof of this, here's the proof. If you can watch your emotions, if you can feel them, if you can not be knocked off balance by them, then you know you are much more than the up and down rhythm of your emotional life. And that is an amazing thing to discover. So to sum up the wisdom of your discontent, it says life's rhythms and the rhythm of your emotional body are knowable by you and available to you. This knowledge is knowable and available. So how do you find it? The key is to relax into any of your resistance, blocks, or objections. Embrace them. Now remember, this does not mean that you will have no resistance at all, because you will continue to find resistance in your journey around the loop. And it doesn't mean tolerance or resignation. Relaxing, accepting, and embracing is different than tolerating or becoming resigned to the pain or the discomfort of what's on the loop. So when you've done all that, the question then becomes, well, who's being aware of this, right? If my identity isn't all the, if it isn't the weaknesses and it isn't the strengths, then who am I? That's what the question becomes. Who's being aware of it? Who's watching? Who's observing the feeling and feeling it at the same time? That's the paradoxical nature of being both human and divine, right there in your experience. Okay, so enjoy everything that's been here. It's a packed little section here. This is section two. It's really packed with a lot of really potent stuff. So go through it again if you have the time, and then come back here and do the homework. What does tip number three release you from and give you access to? Who creates your sense of identity, and how is it done? What are the three questions that give you access to the third mystic perspective? What do the mystics tell you to do with your resistance when you find it on the loop? And what is the question all of this leaves you asking? Okay, enjoy doing the homework and exploring all this really juicy information, and I will see you in the next video. Much love.